gospel reading is from John, the 20th chapter, verses 1 and following, and it's the Easter story. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand the scriptures that Jesus had risen from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but did not realize it was Jesus. And he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she looked toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead and tell my brothers, and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." Here ends the reading. May the Lord bless it to our hearts and minds today. Well, we've been doing a series on the purpose-driven life, and so I want to continue that with the fact that we all have a mission from God, and that is to reach out and share the Easter message with others. But first, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this man who was traveling in the Holy Land with his wife and his mother-in-law. And while they were in Jerusalem, unfortunately, his mother-in-law passed away. And so the consulate came to this man and he said, "Well, for $50,000, you can have your mother-in-law's body shipped back to the United States, or you can have her buried here in Jerusalem for $150. The man thought about it for a moment. He said, "I think I'd like to have her shipped back to the United States." And the consulate said, "Wow, you must have really liked your mother-in-law a lot to pay all that extra money to have her shipped back to the United States." The man said, "No, I just remember that not so long ago someone was buried over here and then a few days later rose again, and I don't want to take any chances. She's coming back again." Just kidding. We've been doing this series on the purpose-driven life, and you don't have to have read the book to appreciate the purposes. We've gone through worship as a power for living, and we've talked about fellowship, that we're formed for God's family, that we're not just to believe, but also to belong, and we're to encourage each other. We've talked about service, how we're shaped for serving God, and all of us have a ministry to the church. And then finally, we're looking at that we're made for mission. We all have a mission which is outside the church, and that mission is simply this: to share the good news. And there's no better Sunday to think about that than Easter Sunday this morning. And so I want to think about that first, is that sometimes we take that message, that Easter message, somewhat for granted. It becomes commonplace in our life. And when you look at this story this morning, kind of go through it again and sort of relive that moment, particularly with Mary, see what a beautiful and powerful story it was. And there she was. They didn't realize that Jesus had to give his life on the cross, and none of that appeared clear to them. And then when he gave his life on the cross, they didn't realize that that wasn't the end of things. And so Mary, in her great grief, went to the tomb. And she was going to the tomb, no doubt, just because she was going to pay her respects, maybe put some flowers or some perfume around there. And then when she draws close, she sees the stone, which would have been rolled in front of this like cave-like tomb sepulcher. That huge stone had been rolled aside. She didn't know what to make of it. She thought maybe someone had stolen the body of Jesus. So she ran and got the disciples. And Peter and John came running. Now, this is John's gospel. And in Near Eastern times, they refer to themselves in passive conjunctive. Let's go through that in the Orient Today summons. John refers to himself as the one whom Jesus loved. Glimpse of reality in the disciples that it's like Peter and John have this race on the way to the tomb. So Peter was leading it first, and then John overtook him, and John was looking into the tomb, but Peter right passed him on the finish line and went right inside, and they're both awestruck in that moment because they see the place where Jesus would have been laid and had been laid, and the funeral shrouds that had wrapped around his body were removed and were lying there, and what would have been around his head was lying there as well. And they didn't know what to make of it, but they started to think, and so they were in a quandary, and they left, and Mary was the one who stayed behind. We don't know what was on Mary's heart. Perhaps she was just thinking over these things, but she was overcome with grief, and she was weeping and fearful. And then she looked inside the tomb again, and then she saw two angels in white, one where Jesus' head would have been, and one where his feet would have been. And they said, "Woman, why do you weep?" And she said, they've taken my Jesus from me. There was a person there, and she thought him to be the gardener. Maybe she just caught sort of a sidelong glance of him, or in a grief she just didn't recognize. And she said, "Sir, where have they taken Jesus?" And in the moment, Jesus said her name, Mary. And she knew. What a beautiful picture that God has on the cross paid the price for the sins of all of us, but God calls us each individually by name. For her, it was Mary. I know that God has touched and reached out to each one of us, but for all of us, God calls her name in that special moment. And in that moment, Mary's life was transformed. In the moment when the stone, which was the symbol of death and fear and things bigger than ourselves, that stone became a symbol of life, of the resurrection, of hope eternal, and the peace that God made between all of us. And Jesus says to her, he said, "Don't hold me back." Now, some translations render that, "Don't touch me," but the word is actually "hold on to." In other words, don't try to keep me from completing my mission. And what was his mission? He went on to say. He said, "Instead, go tell my brothers that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." What beautiful words. Sometimes we take those for granted, but in that, Jesus was saying that all that had previously divided us from God, us from making us children of our Father in heaven, all of our sin and all of our brokenness and all of our shame and shortcomings that Jesus had put on the cross and nailed to the cross and paid the price for that. And just said John in just the earlier chapter when he described the death of Jesus on the cross, and that moment where Jesus gave up his spirit, he says the veil in the Holy of Holies was ripped from top to bottom as a symbol that our entrance before the throne of Almighty God is made perfect in Christ. Because it used to be that only the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies, and then only once a year. All the ceremony had to be perfect, the sacrifice had to be perfect, people had to confess all their sin, and even then, if he entered the Holy of Holies without the right attitude, then God would slay him. And the people were so fearful that they used to tie a rope around his one ankle. If they heard the bells on his robe stop, they would try to just pull him out. But Jesus, in that moment, made peace between ourselves and God. And so that veil was rent from top to bottom, symbolizing that we now have entrance before Almighty God and God's throne. And Jesus was saying, "Go and tell my brothers that I go to ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." What beautiful words. And in that moment also, to know that, as Jesus taught us to pray, that word Father is Abba Father, one that's personal, one who loves us, one who provides and cares for us. And when we think of God, we think about all the things that are bigger than ourselves, just like that stone was bigger than Mary and symbolized fear and death and all that seems impossible. And in that moment, God made it all the impossible possible, because somehow God had taken the worst tragedy we could imagine and made it into the greatest triumph of all times. I'd like to just read again what Paul the Apostle wrote in the book of Colossians, because he says it so eloquently and so beautifully. "When you were dead in your sins and your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ." And then this beautiful picture, he said, "Having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away and nailed it to the cross. Our debts he has nailed to the cross and said, 'Paid in full.' And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in the cross." What a beautiful image. And Jesus was making that real to Mary in such a personal way. And for whatever it's worth, we also know that The first preacher was a woman. She's the first one to preach the good news of the resurrection. But the good news is also that message is for all of us. Because it's not just to transform our lives that we can accept God's forgiveness personally, but it's something that we're supposed to share. Mary Magdalene wasn't a person of great political stature and great education, but she was someone who followed Christ and believed him. And Jesus spoke her name and let her know that he had made the debt that all of us owed paid before God. And he could say, my God and your God, and my Father and your Father. And he was telling her to go and tell the disciples this, and then to tell everyone the good news of Jesus Christ. And so all of us, sometimes we take that for granted. But really, all of us have people in our family. We have friends in our neighborhood. We have people that we meet all along the day who have things in their life, like that great stone that's bigger than them. They haven't really experienced true forgiveness. They're weighed down by the past and past failures and shortcomings, and or maybe just the future seems too big for them. Maybe they've lost loved ones and they don't have the hope of eternal life. Maybe they just don't know that God really loves them. You and I should share that good news with them. And like Mary, be able to say, my Father and your Father, my God and your God. And all of us need to say, this thing is that was bigger than us has been taken care of by God. God has nailed our debts to the cross and said, paid in full. What keeps us from that? Because when you think about it, that's the greatest transforming truth in the entire world. That however big our tragedies, that they're not too big, that God hasn't triumphed over them. And sometimes our lives are like the cross and like the disciples where something has happened, like Jesus being crucified on the cross, and they don't understand why it's happened and how God could be working good in all of this, and things are bigger, or maybe we have a loved one who's sick, or something's been lost in our life, or a relationship that's broken, or we've just been overcome with our failures and shortcomings. But like the disciples then, we can realize that God has forgiven us, that God has brought forgiveness and new life and the power of the resurrection in our hearts and lives, and we should share that with them. Not because we know more than anybody else or better than anybody else, but to invite them into relationship with God and simply say, my Father and your Father, my God and your God. What a beautiful picture. And no doubt the disciples were touched in a powerful way by that, and they came to meet Jesus. And Jesus was going to the Father and said, nothing is going to hinder me, not even death on the cross itself, to bring reconciliation and bridge the gap between our sins and shortcomings and the love of the Father. And that has been made known to us. So let's reach out and share that news with each other. And realize that second chances are a part of who God is. And third chances too. It's a true story that I love, which is the great writer, Russian writer Solzhenitsyn. And it's hard for us to remember back now when the Soviet Union was such a place of oppression. And the prison camps in Siberia were known to just be the harshest in the world. So difficult. And Solzhenitsyn, because of his views, had been sent to Siberia in hard labor. Many people died every day, and if they failed to work, they would be killed by the guards. And so Solzhenitsyn was just overcome by this, and his prison time had been so long, he saw no hope for his life. He couldn't understand how anything good could come from all this, and finally he really just lost his fight, and then one day he just gave up. And so he sat down on this bench near the place where they were working and laid his shovel down. And he just bowed his head because he believed at any moment the guard would come and tell him to pick up that shovel. And if he refused to pick up that shovel, he would be beaten to death. And so he just waited for the guard to come. And somehow as he lay there, or sat there in quiet, he realized that someone had sat down next to him. It was this very old gentleman, very weak and frail. And the man didn't say anything. He just took a stick and he drew the sign of the cross in the sand in front of Solzhenitsyn. And Solzhenitsyn, staring at that cross, realized this man was saying, no matter how tragic the circumstances, no matter how impossible we're going through something, know this, that if God can triumph over the tragedy of the cross and the resurrection, that God is in control of the circumstances we are in now, God cares about our suffering, and God will see us through. The man got up and left, and Solzhenitsyn sat there staring at that cross, and somehow he gathered the hope of his future, realizing that God loved him, and he picked up his shovel and went back to work. His life was never the same, And in those moments in prison, God began to work in him, and he wrote some of the greatest works on freedom and justice the world has ever known. Became the great writer that we know today. When Michael Faraday, the great scientist, was near his death, some reporters came to seek him out and find out his views. They knew he was a Christian, and so they asked him about his speculations about after death. And he said this. He said, "Speculations, I know nothing about speculations. I'm resting on certainties. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and because he lives, I live also." What a beautiful picture of hope amid the doom and the gloom sometimes of death. But we know that God loves us and God has peace that overcomes all. I don't know what is in your life, but maybe sometimes like Mary, we stand outside the tomb. We don't know what's going on, and there's a giant stone that appears bigger than us, and maybe it's just the specter of death and not knowing what's going to happen. Maybe it's just our sin and shortcomings. Maybe it's just things that are happening in our life that seem out of control. But whatever it is, we can realize that if God can take that stone that was a symbol of death and make it a symbol of the power of the resurrection, and if God can take the cross, which is a symbol of torture and pain and death, and make it into a symbol of love and forgiveness and grace, then there's nothing too big in our lives for God to make into a miracle. I like the story about a little boy one time, and there's a huge rock out in the field, and the father told the little boy to go and remove that rock, and it was huge. And so the boy went out into the field, and he tried pushing it, and he couldn't push it. It was too big for him to budge, and he tied a rope around it and tried pulling it. It was too big to pull, and then he went and got a hammer, and he tried to hammer on it, but it was just too hard. It wouldn't break, and so he was so frustrated. He wanted to please his father, and so he went to his father and said, "Father, I can't move the rock." And the father said, "Sure you can." And the boy said, "I don't understand." He said, "I've tried everything. I tried pushing it, and it was too heavy, and I tried tying a rope around and pulling it, and it was too stuck to budge, and I tried smashing it with a hammer, and it was too hard. I don't understand. I've tried everything." And the father said, "No, you haven't tried everything, because you haven't come and asked me for help. Because if you did, I'd come and help you, and together, you and I can move that rock." And that's just what they did. The father and son went, and they moved the rock together. Sometimes that's the way it is in our lives. God puts things that are too big for you and I to face alone, where the only thing that we can count on is that God will show up and work a miracle in things that are too big for our lives. And when we have to do that, and when God has to show up, then God does show up. God gives us forgiveness and new grace, and we know that nothing is too big and too impossible for God, because God loves us so much that he is willing to give his life on a cross in a cruel death to pay the price for our forgiveness and new life. And come to all of us and say, "I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." I'd like to close with this little reading from Max Lucado, which is a beautiful piece about the great love of God. "He humbled himself and was obedient to God, even when that caused his death on the cross. When human hands fastened to divine hands on a cross with spikes, it wasn't the soldiers who held the hands of Jesus steady. It was God who held them steady. Those same hands that formed the oceans and built the mountains, those same hands that designed the dawn and crafted each cloud, those same hands that blueprinted one incredible plan for you and me. Take a stroll out to the hill, out to Calvary, out to the cross, where with holy blood, the hand that placed you on the planet wrote the promise God would give up his only son before he'd give up on you. The final prayer of Jesus was about you. His final pain was for you. His final passion was for you. Before he went to the cross, Jesus went to the garden. And when he spoke with his father, you were in his prayers. And God didn't turn his back on you. He couldn't, because he saw you, and one look at you was all it took to convince him. Right there in the middle of a world which isn't fair, he saw you cast into a river of life you didn't request. He saw you betrayed by those you love. He saw you with a body which gets sick and a heart which grows weak. On the eve of the cross, Jesus made his decision. He would rather go to hell for you than to go to heaven without you." Let us join in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for the glory and wonder and power and hope of Easter morning. We thank you that you loved us so much. You gave your life on the cross that we could know forgiveness and new life. We thank you for your great power in Christ, where we know the resurrection of the dead, not only for Christ, but for all those who believe. We thank you for your love that has reconciled us to our Father. We thank you that you can take anything that in our life seems too big and too impossible, and through your power, you can make all obstacles go away and even transform them from tragedy to triumph. Help us to surrender our lives to you and to know your love more fully each and every day with hope and faith and peace and love and joy. In your name, through your power and to your glory, amen.